gotta be kidding me. It's gone again. Severino has a three-home run night.
A three-homer ball game.
Have a night, Pedro. Three home runs.
Ground ball first. Davis has got it. Runner stays. Oh, mercy! How about that flip? The Ravens are going to come calling for Chris Davis. I think this is a flea flicker.
Check this out. Boop. All my years. This is the first time I've ever seen this.
Fly ball. Deep right field. Back it goes. It is caught by Santander. What a play!
He throws back to first. Mancini stretches. It's a double play.
That ball in the air to center field. Going back, power alley. Hayes there, up. And he does it again. Willie Mays Hayes goes to the wall, hauls it in. He has got a highlight reel of his own for 2019.
And a 2-2 swing and a line drive towards the hole. Diving stop by Richie Martin. He gets up and throws, and he got him! He got him at first base. What a play by Martin.
Wilkerson is in a save situation.
He just looks comfortable out there.
And two away.
1-2 delivery on the way. Pujols waiting on it. That's shallow center field. It's Santander, and they got it! And Wilkerson gets the save in 16 innings.
The Orioles' secret weapon earns the save. There it goes! Way back! And the Orioles are going to walk it off! Ruiz comes through!
Rio Ruiz hits a walk-off home run out of the flat court, and the Orioles win 8-7.
Gonna go for three. Here's Gardner's throw. It's gonna be a triple.
1-1 is ripped in the right field. He's trying for two. Here's the throw in, and he is safe at second base. A head first slide.
Puts it high in the air. Deep to right field. Goodbye, home run!
Swinging a line drive to right field. That is in there for a base hit. And VR has done it. He has hit for the cycle.
Ball in the air to center field. That ball's hit deep, going back at the wall, up, and a great catch! Austin Hayes robs him of a home run, and Guerrero takes his cap off and raises it high, saluting Hayes.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome.
Outstanding defensive play by Austin Hayes.
Oriole fans, there is your center fielder of the future. That ball is tagged at the wall, up and oh! He caught it! He caught it! Unbelievable catch, Stevie Wilkerson!
He made the catch! He robs Jackie Bradley! What a play by Wilkerson!
One of the greatest catches you will ever see!
You are now listening to Being Frank on 27 Outs Baseball Radio, where baseball is always on. Now, here is your host, Frank Forget About It Conti. Holy sh, just got real.
Good morning, everybody. How we doing? How we doing? How we doing? This is Birdcage Radio coming to you live, but not at the 27 Outs Network studio. Actually, in my dining room. Juan is with me. He is in his house. You won't be able to hear him. You don't always hear him anyway, but sometimes you do. This you'll never be able to hear on this platform. We're trying something new to get back on. Haven't been on in 2 months, and want to get some baseball talk out to you. Maybe if we could dabble into some Baltimore Orioles baseball, but not much going on. So to have a show, we're going to have to talk all baseball and some other things. And, well, basically that's what I have for you. So if the audio is not the greatest, if you hear a couple of things in the background, I am at home. And usually at the studio where things are more crisp, but being at home and having family and stuff around, you might hear some things. A lot of things to go over with baseball, but not much Baltimore. We are on Spotify, Anchor, Radio.com, QMB 103.3 FM, a ton of other places. I mean, I could be here for days telling you what stations we're on and how to get us. You know, to look up on all the social medias, you get us. The links will be out if you do not have us set. So, that said, let's start it up. A lot of crazy things. It's May and happy Cinco de Mayo and no baseball. Nothing. No sports. Nothing at all. Right now we would be a little, how many? Six, maybe 7 weeks into the season, 6 weeks into the season. And we have nothing. Nothing. I mean, we have, baseball's trying things, you know, with the MLB, the show stuff with the players and, you know, a couple of big radio shows and podcasts. You know, we have one of the radio shows called Put in the Books. They are actually, they're a Met show, Put in the Books. And they are actually playing MLB the show. They're simulcast. They're not playing it as themselves. You know, they have the Mets roster the way it is and all the other teams and the way their schedule would have been this year, and they just put it on and they let the computer play and they talk about it, and then afterwards they go over and recap the game. And the Mets are actually doing pretty good in this, but you know, I don't think Syndergaard is obviously hurt and all that and stuff. So, but so many different things going on that you could catch, and obviously the Korean Baseball League is off and running, and ESPN's actually playing that. So there are some things to watch, but if you were waiting for your team this year, are you really excited about your team, like the Cincinnati Reds and, you know, even the Arizona Diamondbacks, the, you know, the White Sox, Toronto Blue Jays, a lot of fans were really excited about the season, even the Mets, and there is no season. Now, no matter what happens, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not, but I think no matter what happens, this season will be sort of like, well, if you thought you were going to be good and you don't end up being good when they do start a season, I think it's almost like a wash. Next season, you almost like forget about this. Unless you win the World Series, I don't think, or if you're a team that shouldn't have made the playoffs and they did, I don't really think you're going to go into next season like, oh, you know, that, are we in trouble? I don't know. And you know you have to have a season, because if you don't have a season, let's get into that for a minute. If you don't have a baseball season, there's so many things you have to go over. Like, are players free agents at the end of next season? And if they are, you know, if one had a bad season a year before, or maybe they got injured towards the end of last season, their money is going to be different. So now the Players Association is going to get involved with that. You know, Noah Syndergaard, I think, is a free agent at the end of the year. He has Tommy John. He won't even be ready by the end, by the beginning of next season, or actually, no, he's not a free agent. Actually, he's a free agent the year after. But still, I mean, it doesn't hurt him. But what about Mookie Betts? Let's look at the Mookie Betts situation. The Dodgers traded for him, and they, you know, whatever you think, they traded anybody good or not, it doesn't matter. They traded for him, and they gave up prospects. Now, if one of those prospects become good, Boston wins that trade because he never played for the LA Dodgers. Now, he already likes being a Dodger, and he might say, hey, that, you know, I'll sign with the Dodgers if you give me the money I want. All good, and they are, them and the Yankees are the two teams that you have to pick right now to be in the World Series. If I had to put, you know, my money down, it would be the Dodgers versus the Yankees. And basically, I mean, I'm not, the Twins are still good. The Mets are good. The Braves are good. There's still some teams out there that could, more on the National League side than the American League side. And I'm not totally sold on the Dodgers pitching staff either, especially in the playoffs. So there's different things to look at in that situation. But so he could say, hey, I'm on a team that's going, well, he's not a team that's going to be a playoff contender every year if he signs with them. But let's just say he wanted the fresh you know, test free agency and which he will get big money on the open market. I mean, the Mets would probably go after him, especially if they sell, and that's something to get into later on. But there will probably – the Dodgers lose out. I mean, you lose prospects for nothing. Now, if he gets sent back to Boston, now Boston loses out because he's not signing with Boston. And they literally get a draft pick, which I guess I don't even know what to say about that. But I mean, they would get a draft pick. So because he would be a top free agent. But that's the thing. Like, there's so many things to look at. Free agents, bad contracts, like that will be closer to free agency, like the Cano contract with the Mets, you know, things like that. I mean, there's so many things to look at if there's not a season. So they have to push a season somehow. Somehow. And I think if you're a Baltimore Orioles fan, if you are a Marlins fan, a Detroit Tiger fan, a Kansas City Royal fan, a Toronto Blue Jay fan. There's a couple of the teams to think about too. You're okay with having any type of season. If it's 120 games, 100 games, no matter what division they talk about. Now, before I even get into that, I'll even say that I just got word from some sources that they will start spring training June 10th. That's what they're saying. And games will resume on July 1st. Resume on July 1st. In their own home ballparks. They didn't say nothing about divisions or anything yet. Now, there was there's three or four different floating arounds of divisions, and that's what I'm trying to get into. And we'll get into that in a second. But back to what I said about the Orioles and the Marlins and all those other teams, you're okay with the season because you're on a three-year frame of building your organization to a winner. And not having a season means you're three more years. That means 2024 instead of 2023 of making a run. They could be. I think Baltimore's hitting is going to be a lot better than people think in the next year or two, and they're going to have a really great lineup, and they have a couple of prospects still in the farm system that could come up and do things. I think their pitching is 2 to 3 years away, and then when they get respectable and have a young great core, and they're up in the top of the division, that's when they could bring in some more free agents because they do have money. But like the Marlins, also. A very young, good, dynamic team. And they actually have a very good team this year. They would not be a pushover team this year. They picked up the right people to coincide with the players they have and the checkmates of the players they have. You know, so, and they have a couple of free agents too at the end of the season that they brought in just this year that would kind of hurt them. If they don't play. So they have to push playing. And you want those teams don't care. They just want the development. So 100-plus games is a development for them. Their players get to get on the field, get to coincide with each other, get to have that under their belt type of thing, and everybody will be happy. But the thing is, those other teams like the Reds, the Mets, the Yankees, the Rays, the Dodgers, the even the Astros, the Twins, those teams are the Braves are teams that can win. And if they get pushed into a situation where it's shortened, unless they are doing what people think they should do, like the Met fans. Let's look at the Mets for a second. They're definitely the second best team in that division as of right this second, right? I mean, the Phillies are pretty good. The Nationals are good. I'm giving it to the Braves, Mets. The Nationals were a fluke last year. They lost a couple of players in the offseason. Didn't really replace them too much. I look at the Nationals and the Phillies fighting for third, Marlins for last, right? I like the Phillies a tiny bit better than the Nationals. I think the Nationals are a fourth-place team. I think they were last year. I think they got hot at the right time, and they got lucky, and they just made it to the playoffs, and then they went out and did what they had to do. And that's what happens. You know, you've seen it with the Colorado Rockies weren't the best team. They won like 22 games in a row 1 year, and they made it to the playoffs, and they did what they had to do, and you just get hot at the right time. But the Mets have to be very happy where they are right now. Now, if Syndergaard was healthy, I would almost pick them to win that division. But with him not, and they still have a five-man rotation, they have a very good relieving staff, they have a very good hitting team on the field, they have some bench players. They did a really good job this offseason. For the Met fan, you kind of want to have a season, but you're also like hesitant where it doesn't really count. If the Mets come in fourth place this year and five games above 500, I don't think the Mets fans would be like, you know, starting up the spring training, a Syndergaard injury, blah, 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 bing, bada, bing. We're fine going into next year. We have a couple of guys off contract, a couple of free agents we could go after, maybe have a new owner, maybe not. You know, if they have a new owner, they'll be more optimistic, and this season will just be a wash. Same thing if the Braves came in third place. Same thing if the Twins came in second place. Same thing if the Dodgers get knocked out in the first round. Nobody's going to get nervous about any of that going into next season because the season's almost like an asterisk next to it. The only teams that are really looking forward to having baseball, that love baseball, the only fans are the teams that are rebuilding so they get that year under their belt of the rebuilding. But now, if the Mets do what they're supposed to do and they win the division, win a World Series, the Mets fans won't talk like that. Oh, it wasn't a fluke. No, we were good. We would have done it even if there was 20 more, 30 more, 40 more games. It don't matter. But it's almost like we want to bring baseball back to have normalcy. Normalcy is what everybody's looking for. Normal right now, Cinco de Mayo, is to eat some Spanish or Mexican, mostly Mexican food, but some people eat Spanish. They have a fiesta, maybe go to the ballpark. Or tomorrow go to the ballpark. Or last night went to the ballpark. Whatever it is. You know, that's normalcy. 12 o'clock Sunday games, 2 o'clock Sunday games, wherever man is where you're at, or 3 o'clock Sunday games. And just normal. Normal. Because right now things ain't normal. Now, no matter what they do, they're not having fans at the stadium. Which, I mean, for the Baltimore fans, we've already seen that. It was something that already happened, right? I mean, that's done. So that's nothing new for them. Everybody else, it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird seeing Citi Field and Yankee Stadium and L.A. and any of those stadiums that draw a lot of fans, Chicago, the Cubs, being empty. It's going to be weird. You know, hearing the crack of the bat. You know, I mean, Major League Baseball is also sitting down in the war rooms right now going over what they could do to make it more exciting for the fans while they're at home. Now, they do, their TV does okay. Okay. 30,000 people watching a game, 40,000 people watching a game doesn't make baseball money. Okay. So, you know, that TV is a big deal. You know, ESPN, you know, MLB wouldn't have a TV channel if it didn't make money. So they're going to probably whip up some stuff to put out to show you guys, make it more fan friendly from home. And that's what you need at this point if you're stuck in home. All right. A lot of good things happening. I mean, this Corona thing it kicked us all in the butt. We didn't know anything about, and when this was happening, and I mean, we heard about it in January. I mean, even around Christmas time, people heard about it. But in January, I think we had the first case early January in Pembroke Pines, Florida. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken. And we just like, whatever. You know, 5 or 6 people get this, and it's the end of that. That's what everybody thought. No lie. Anybody that's going to say anything different is lying. And me too. I did the same thing. I think the main article on and the newspaper was, Kobe Bryant's death, and then there was a little side article that went down, you know, that little side one, you have to go to the page and stuff afterwards, and it's another little, was about the corona thing, and nobody cared, and now look at it, people have lost jobs, there's a billion people on unemployment, you know, people are dying, and the dying thing, it's not just the dying, it's dying alone. Your family can't go to the hospital and be with you while you die. It's not like you're dying from like cancer or something and you go to the hospital in the last hour you're with them and holding hands and hugging people, and they die alone. And then they get put into a box, a cooler, in a truck, in a rig, you know, big semi thing. And then they get put into a box and buried, not even at a site that your family wants to be buried at. Okay. Some places they might release the body. I don't know, but I know in New York, they're not. They're burying it in a site. They're given a couple of belongings or whatever so you can have a funeral. Funeral homes are overwhelmed, so they're not even having real funerals. I mean, it's getting so bad, and I hate to bring people down, but it was actually a New York doctor, I want to say today or yesterday, took her own life. She's been in one of the hardest hit hospitals and treating the worst patients, and they're all dying alone and crying. And she couldn't take it anymore and took her own life. You know what life has to be like when you take your own life? Knowing you have a family at home. It wasn't, I mean, that's what we're, and a lot of people need to hear this because a lot of people are doing dumb shit. These states are starting to open up too early. And I understand we want normalcy and opening up and going, sitting down at a restaurant, going to the beach or the park, or, you know, going shopping for some clothes is normalcy for people. And without that, it's not normal. But look what's happening. Turn on the news and look what's happening. I know it's a beautiful day out here in Florida. Blue skies, people are out barbecuing, people are getting ready for Cinco de Mayo, people just, and you forget. If you don't turn the news on, you forget what's going on. Your neighbors are not sick. The grocery stores have people in it. Right? They're opening up parks, opening up beaches. Oh, okay. Well, no problem. Everything's good. No, it's not. This will come back, and it happened. Georgia opened up, and they had a bunch. They had 600,000 new cases or something like that. Is that what they said? 200,000 in another area that opened up early. I mean, like, there was record days in another, in Dallas on, what was it, Saturday or something like that, or Sunday. They had 234 new cases walk in. I mean, is that what we want? We want to go backwards? Like, we're there. We're right there. We see the curve. We see the plateau. Just do it for a little bit longer. They have a bunch of vaccines that they're working on. They're very optimistic about. If the curve turns and there's a vaccine, then it's all over. Open up everything. Let's have a party. Let's get together and run around and hug each other and whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. But right now, let's be a little safe and be smart. And that's what Major League Baseball is waiting for. It's May 5th. You're looking at, you know, 35 more days, what is it, a month more before they go back to spring training, because they see the curve, they hear what's going on from the government about the vaccines, and is that other vaccine that's out. So if you have the coronavirus and you're in the hospital, they have a vaccine now they can give you where you have a very good chance of not dying, and the recovery time is 3 to 4 days faster. Okay, great, but you have to have corona to get it. It doesn't prevent corona. It doesn't get rid of corona. You could still die from corona, whatever it is. So this is a crazy time. This is going to be in history books all over the world, not just the United States. Kids are going to learn about this 20 years from now in their in school, just like 9/11. It's going to, you know, and the world stopped. I mean, no sports, no nothing. And it shows you, it's almost gratitude. It kind of shows you what you had, right? What you had. You went to work, came home, you had a roof over your head, you had some TV to watch, you go to a sporting event, you go out and get some clothes, you go out and get a cup of coffee at the coffee shop, sit down, have a Danish, whatever. You know, little things like that that you do every day that you take for granted you can't do anymore. You ever try eating with a mask on? You have a mask on, you make your coffee at a coffee shop or, you know, I don't know, quick shop or whatever. You know, I don't know what people have in their states, but we have a Crumbling Farms. We have Wawa's. You can make your own coffee. And then should you put your mask down and take a sip of it and see if it's right? How many sugar you put in it? Or do you have to go outside and then come back in for another packet of sugar? Like, what are the rules here? That's the thing, because there's mandatory mask here in Florida. And that's why I laugh when they say they're going to open up restaurants, because you can't eat with a mask on. So you take your mask off to eat. It defeats the purpose of wearing a mask. Now, a lot of people don't realize that, well, the other people are wearing masks, like the servers and whatever, but the mask doesn't prevent you from getting corona. The mask that we have, you know, I'm in the hospital. I don't know about those special masks they have with the little thing at the end of it. I don't know what that's about. But the mask that we have, a cloth mask, a regular disposable mask, they prevent us from giving corona, not from getting it. So if I cough, you can't get it if I have a mask on. If you have one on or not. I think if you have one on, it's a better situation. But so if I'm eating and remember, at one point, the readings were 50% of the people don't know they have corona. Now, I don't know if that's still the same. I don't know if it's 40, 30, but whatever it is, if you don't know you have it because you have no symptoms or very mild symptoms, and you go to eat somewhere and you cough or sneeze or, you know, you put some pepper on your food and you end up sneezing, it's still a germ, you know, and the waiter's there or touches your plate afterwards, you're done. That's it. And that's how it spreads. That's how, you know, if everybody knew they had the disease because they had symptoms and they were running to the hospital, it's easier to contain. It's because some people didn't have any. And if you get it, you come home and you have five family members, two of them get it, they go somewhere else, you give it to five more people, blah, blah, blah. And that's how it spreads, rapid fire. And that was what we weren't ready for. We didn't know enough about it. And it's nobody's fault. It isn't. It isn't anybody's fault. It isn't. There's nothing you can do. It's just how it happened. And it's a crazy time. But sporting events. Now, if baseball said we're going to start the season, screw it. The curve is here. We're just going to let everybody come. Would you go to the ballpark? I don't know. Like I do this as a job. So, I mean, it's a little different if they told me I have to go to a ballpark to get paid. I have to go to a ballpark to get paid. Right. So, it's different for me, but if I was a fan, just a fan, and I wanted to, you know, when they said go to the ballpark, you watch your, you know, baseball, whatever it is, I don't know if I go. I don't know if I want to be there with 40,000 people, because, you know, this is not over. And we all know it's not over. I mean, you could do whatever you want. You could play, you know, you could throw roses on the floor. You could spray some perfume, whatever you want to do. But you know it's there. You're only lying to yourself if you think this is over or no one's going to get it, you're not going to get it, or anybody else in your family can't get it. So going to an arena where there's 35,000 plus or a baseball stadium, what's the odds one or two people don't have that? And you say, well, what's the odds I'm sitting next to them or a row behind them? Well, what's the odds you didn't bang in, you know, someone didn't bang into one of those on the way in, and then they banged into someone else, and they banged into someone else, and someone has been in, and then that person's sitting next to you. Take that chance. If I tell you three people out of 35,000 plus people going into a stadium have corona and are very contagious, and there's four entrances, and two of those entrances are going to be used by corona people. So there's four, two going one, two going another. And then they disperse. They go wherever their seats are, whatever they want to do, whatever's going on, right? You're playing Russian roulette. You might as well put, you know, three bullets in a gun and a six-barrel gun and spin it. See what happens. It's 50%, right, at that point. I mean, they touch a railing going up the stairs. You touch the railing next. You know, none of those people are going to come in contact with you in a condom in the bathroom, going to get anything to eat, sit down. You know, an usher's not going to come in through there and then work your row or your section. You know, there's God knows how many people working at the stadium. Let's say two of them have it. and we don't know about it, and they really want to get back to work, so they, you know, they don't say anything. And then they show up, they touch a railing before you came in. I mean, there's a lot that could happen there. And I'm, you know, you're carrying baby wipes, wearing masks, I don't know, whatever you're gonna, you know, lotion. I mean, sanitizer, whatever. I mean, I guess. I mean, you could go 5 or 6 games, not get it. Then the 6th or 7th, you get it. I mean, it's just Russian roulette at that point. So I don't know. I'd love to know what you guys think about. You know, at Frank Conti 13 is my Twitter, and get me another social media platforms. Let me know what you think about, or send a direct message right here on this. If you're on Spotify, if you're on Anchor, you could, is radio.one, is radio.com let you send messages? I know SiriusXM doesn't. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I know that Anchor and Spotify let you send messages. If you're listening on that, there's a little thing to send a message to show. And even if it shows over or listening to it recorded, it comes to us anyway. And I would love to know, would you show up to a baseball game if baseball started this week or next week? Now, I know in June it could be a different answer because we might have a vaccine. And, hey, if we have a vaccine, you know, and they could drop it from a helicopter or whatever, hey, I'm going to a baseball game too if I was a fan, right? I mean, I don't know. Just saying. When I say if I was a fan, meaning that I kind of have to go. But we don't know if they're going to let reporters in and media in and stuff like that. We don't know that yet. There's no answers to this yet. This is what we're waiting on, so. They're still discussing. But a lot more baseball to go over. I don't want to bring people down. Just want to get some things out of the way. So let's get into the next topic here. All right. So, you know, there is a lot of baseball going on. Obviously, there's a lot of players that are itching to get back. You know, their Instagrams are full. They're with their families. I don't think there's too many players still at their facilities unless, you know, they're a young kid that could, on the verge of making a team, might not make the team, and, you know, kind of just has mom, pop, sister at home type of thing. No wife, no kids. I don't see too many guys hanging out at the facilities, you know? But you see their Instagrams, and you see them with their families and playing around and or signing baseball cards and things like that. So, you know, it's laid back time. These guys got to get back on the field and work out for a little bit. I don't think they need as much time as people think. I think, you know, 10th and starting on the 1st, that gives you 20 days. I think that's fair. You know, the first week, stretch everybody out, start doing your things, and then get back, you know, the next, I guess it'll be like three weeks, I guess. So like the next 2 weeks, you play some games. Your first week, you let your pitchers throw, and then you stretch them out the second week, and then you start the season. Now, obviously, it's going to be an extended roster, so some guys that were on the verge of not making the team will make the team because pitchers can't expect that first month to go 6 and 7 innings when, you know, you have 2 weeks of games. I mean, what do you, you know, you shut these guys down for months. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, right? I mean, you're probably going to see 4 innings, 5 innings from a pitcher, and you're going to see about 2 more pitchers a game than normal. And it's great, though. This is a good thing, though. This is one of the things I actually like because, you know, everybody that knows me knows that I'm a big minor league guy. I started off covering minor leagues, and I know a lot of the major league players that are up now and all the guys that are coming up because I covered them. And I love seeing – sometimes you're going to get a prospect or two, especially on these extended rosters. Because you don't want to start the clock on a guy you know that's not really ready and he's one of your stars, right? I mean, there's a couple of guys that might be ready, but they could use a year in a minor league system and they're a star. So why do that to them, especially in a shortened season where things might not go right and there's injuries that can happen? So bring up guys that are older, that kind of had a good season, looked good in spring, let them get their shot. There's in Baltimore, there's a lot of guys that way. And in the Marlins, there's a lot of guys that way. You know, so let's give those guys a little play and see what happens. You know, let's see what happens. And you never know, a couple of these guys can surprise you. They become household names. All of a sudden, oh my God, this guy's really good. Where he might not have had a shot. He might. Maybe 2 years down the road, if there's an injury, he might have came up for a cup of coffee. And if he didn't, really stellar. But in this instance, he might have more of a shot. And then you have a mainstay on your team that you wouldn't have had before, if that makes any sense to anybody. So I kind of into that. And I'm kind of into seeing that. And things happen, and you know, you have in Baltimore, there's a lot of great talent in that farm system. And like I said, there's a couple of pitchers that I would have rather have, you know, up with the team over some of the other ones that are playing. You know, my pitching staff would have been a little different than what they are projecting for the Baltimore Orioles. And being that this is a Baltimore Orioles show, I'm going to start off with them and talk to them, because it kind of goes into, you know, what these other teams are kind of going for. Because to me, this is what you need to focus your team on. So now you look at the Baltimore Orioles. I'm going to start off with the top 30 prospects. There's a couple of guys like Dallas Lichter and things like that can really be, you know, and if you go back to my Twitters and you go back to my top, I don't know if it was 10 or 7 or whatever, non-30 pitchers and 10 or 7 non-top 30 hitters, there's some guys on there that can easily be thrown in this. But I think Dean Kramer is a guy that can be a fifth starter on his team and should be looked at as a fifth starter on his team already. You know, and I really do. And I think that a lot of people are picking, you know, Keegan and I do too. Those two guys I like. Now, if you look at their depth chart, not their roster, their depth chart, and you see their rotation. Right now, then in rotation, they have Means, Cobb, Asher, Wei LeBlanc, Cole Stewart, Tommy Malone, Hector Vasquez, right? That's who they have listed as their five. I mean, well, as their, obviously more than five there, as the guys fighting for their five-man rotation. You get a lefty in Means, lefty in LeBlanc, and a lefty in Tommy Malone. I like Means. I like Cobb. I think John Means is going to have a very good season. I think Alex Cobb, healthy, is a very good pitcher. Asher is someone that could come out and give you quality innings, and he's not terrible. Hector Vasquez is, you know, is a fourth guy, I would say. You know, he's 31 years of age. He's had some... I mean, his career is 11-7 with 390 ERA. He has 89 games, 19 game starts, 166 innings, 121 strikeouts. I mean, he's not terrible. He was 7-2 with a 318 ERA a year ago in 2018. 2017, he was 3-1 with a 292 ERA. Three, 8-8 game starts. So, I mean, last year was his worst year, but everybody in Boston pitched bad last year. So those four guys are quality. And then you're telling me we're going to go down to the wire with Wayne LeBlanc. LeBlanc is I mean, he right now in an extended roster, okay. I'm fine with that. Right? You put him in the bullpen, he could come in the fifth inning if you have to. Pitch, give you three innings, he's a lefty. Okay, yeah, I'm all right, whatever. I mean, if that's what you want to do. I mean, he's only 35 years of age. I mean, 6-7 with a 5.71 ERA last year. Only eight game starts, 121 innings, 92 strikeouts. I mean, he was on Seattle. He was 9-5 with a 3.72 and 27 game starts a year ago. He's okay. I mean, if you're a team that was projected to come in third, had a hole in the pitching staff, needed to fill it, and brung in LeBlanc, and had Cole Stewart and a Tommy Lone fight for that last spot, all right. Okay. But this team, I know Orioles, they have a very good lineup. People have to understand this lineup is very good. Now, Chris Davis looked really good in spring training before they shut it down. And that's scary because if he continues to go on his path, he's in that path, then this lineup is even better than we thought. And it's deeper than we thought. But the problem is they had no pitching. The relieving's okay, but they had no pitching. After John Means last year, you know, Asher was okay. Everybody else was bad. You didn't have Cobb, and you had no other starters. Cole Stewart is not a guy I'm running to the bank on. I covered him when he was with the Twins. I knew him when he was in the minor leagues. I always thought he would be good. But I feel like he's a better reliever than starter, and he should be put into the relieving staff, and I think he'll flourish, but whatever it is. Tommy's been given a ton of time. I mean, he's been given a ton of opportunities? He's 33 years old. Wasn't he? He was like a number one pick for the Braves or something like that, wasn't he? He was an overall 300. He was a 10th rounder, excuse me. I thought he was higher than that. But he was also on Seattle, but he was 4-10 with a 4.76 ERA. 23 games, 6 game starts. This guy had 6 game starts. He had 10 game starts in the last 2 years. If you count the year before that, with two teams, he only had 8. So he had 18 game starts in the last 3 years. If you want to go back 4 years, he had 22. No, make that 30 game starts in the last 4 years. And in those last 4 years, he had a 7.63 ERA, a 5.81 ERA, and, well, that's 3 years, excuse me, and 5.71, 7.63, 5.81, and 4.76. His best ERA in the big leagues was for Oakland in 2012. Was that his first year? It was his second year. His first year, he had 5 games, 5 game starts. He was 1-0 with a 3.81 with the Nationals. Then he went to Oakland. He was 13-10 with a 3.74 ERA. He had 31 game starts, 90 innings. And 137 strikeouts. But you knew that was going to be short-lived because he had a 2.78 batting average against. Then he was 12-9 with a 4.14. Then he was on two teams in 2014. He was 6-4 with a 4.19. Then he went to Minnesota. He was 9-5 with a 3.92, 128 innings, 91 strikeouts, a 2.60 batting average against, which is better. And then the next year, it's where it all happened. 3-5 with a 5.71. With two teams in 2017, he was 1-3 with a 7.63 ERA. And he was 1-1. With the Nationals again at 5.81 ERA. And then last year in Seattle was 4-10 with a 4.76 ERA. 111 innings. He had 94 strikeouts, 2.41 batting average against is the best he had in his career. But this is not a guy that's going to give you a World Series. And I really don't understand why we even are looking at in Baltimore, Scott, you know, like the Band-Aid over the wound. I mean, this year is also a wash, right? So we're not going to have the same amount of games. The divisions might not be the same, which we'll get into in a minute. Or they could be. I mean, I don't know. They might say screw it. If they're playing in their own ballparks, then who cares, right? You know, I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what's going on yet. But if that, but the case is, if we are, doing this type of thing, and you have extended rosters, why not? If you don't have enough young guys to fill that roster because you don't want to start the clock. And I understand. Like, I totally understand. I'll tell you right now, prospects that I don't want to see up just because of an extended roster. Grayson Rodriguez, DJ Hall, Gunnar Henderson. Those three guys right off the bat, they're top six prospects. Grayson's number two, DJ Hall's number three, and Gunner's number six. I wouldn't want that. There's a couple of guys. Drew Rahm's another guy. I wouldn't want starting his clock yet. Who else? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I think Drew Rahm is a number 18, 17 top prospect. Blaine Knight is a top 25 prospect. He's another pitcher. You know, he was, advanced A. Not a guy I want to start my clock for. You know, Luis Ortiz is another one. I mean, he's young. I'm probably not going to bring him up. He's a lefty. But I think he is number 30 on the top 30 prospect list. But those guys, I'm probably not starting. Now, if you want to look at other guys that I might, you know, Bruce Zimmerman, someone I might, you know, he was a double A pitcher. Dylan Tate's been at the big leagues. Keep him up here. Who else? Cody Sadlock is another one that I would probably think about. He was a double A right-handed pitcher. Who else? Hunter Harvey's been in the big leagues. Obviously, Keegan is a triple A. He's a lefty. He's ready. Zach Lothar is ready. He's a double A pitcher. Dean Kramer is someone I think should be in the starting rotation. I think he's ready. He's a triple A. Brannon Michael is another double A pitcher I really think could get a shot up there. So those guys right there, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. What did I say? 4. Alex Wells, 5. Cody, 6. Dylan Tate, 7. Bruce Simmons, 8. That's 8 guys on your top 30 prospect list that you could all start their clock. And that's not counting other guys like Dallas Litcher. I think he's been in like high A, very good pitcher. Maybe. I might want one more year from him. There's like 3 or 4 other guys in their farm system. So you're looking at about 12 guys that can get an opportunity that are probably ready. Some not known in the top 30 prospect list, you know, about 6 of them you could bring up in a shortened season and to give them opportunity. Because let's be honest, they have 3 starters, and if you count Asher, they have 4. All right, LeBlanc, Cole Stewart, and Tommy, to me, they don't really need them. And then you look at their relieving staff. Now, I already said Hunter could be brought up, so he's already in their relieving staff with Givens. I love Miguel Castro. I think he's going to have a big year. I think Paul Fryer is a lefty. If they use him right, it's going to be pretty good. Evan Phillips strikes out a ton of people. I want to see what he can do in that bullpen. Dylan Tate's listed there. Cody Corral. I mean, if they're going to have extended roster, you know, right there you have what? Fry, Phillips, Dylan, Miguel. Hunter and Givens, Hunter, Miguel, Evans, that's five, right? So you're taking out Dylan and Hunter from that eight I mentioned before. So that gives you six. So that's 11. And then you have another six in your farm system. And then you have the four starters. So 11 and four is 15. I think they're allowed, I think they're going to have 20 starters. So 20 pitchers. So that puts you right in there. And that's not counting Armstrong. That's not counting Richard. That's not counting Travis Larkins. That's not counting Turner Scott. That's not counting Cole or Cody Corral. That's not counting any of those guys. So, you know, you have a good 30 pitchers without Tommy, without LeBlanc, without Cole Stewart. You see where I'm getting at? So there was no reason. I understand when we were starting this season, it was a regular season. Everything was going on. You want to bring in more arms because that's what you were laughing stock about last year. You didn't have starting pitching, and that's what it was. And they were terrible, terrible with their starting pitching. So they wanted to fix that. I understand because you have some great pitching in your farm system. Some of the best pitching I've seen in a long time in the farm system, with any farm system. And I covered great ones, the Marlins, the Rays, the Twins. Those farm systems are phenomenal. I've seen pitchers come up like from that whole pitching staff over there in on the Rays, including Honeywell. I've seen what came up with the Marlins. Look at that five-man rotation, what they have in a farm system. I've seen what came up with the Twins, Jose Berrios and those guys. So not for nothing, there's been some stuff there. Now, if you look at their catching, I like Chance and I like Pedro. Chris Davis, like I said, oh, my God, if Chris Davis does what he's supposed to do. Now, the only thing that – now, we know Trey had his colon cancer thing, and he's doing treatment. He's probably not going to be ready this year. Great player. Hopefully he doesn't miss a step when he comes back. But it kind of opens the door up for a couple of people, because if you slided him in right field, there would have been less. But Chris Davis at first, leave him there. Let's see what happens. Hanser at second. I like Rio at third. I love him. I think he's going to have a tremendous year. And then you have Richard Martin, Jose Iglesias. Jose Iglesias should stay at short. Martin should be in AAA one more year. Andrew Vasquez should be their bench guy. And then in the outfield, I like Santander. I love Anthony. I think he's going to be really, really good. I think he's going to have a tremendous year. I love Austin Hayes in center. Leave him alone. Great defense, good contact with his bat. And then not having Trey in right, you have Dwight Smith that you could put out there. You have DJ Stewart that would be on your bench. And then you have someone like Renato Nunez at DH. Great. Good team. Now you still have Ryan Mountcastle that should be on the verge of making this team. You know, and then you have what I like in the farm system. I think he's ready, and I can't wait to see this dude play baseball at the big league level, and that's Diaz. I mean, he's a double-A player. I think they got him from the Dodgers in that Machado trade, and he's going to be a tremendous, tremendous player. I think he's a top eight, seven prospect. And then you have Ryan Mountcastle that is should be on his team also. And then of course you have Adley you have Grayson, you have DJ Hall, you have a ton of great talent. You have Adam Hall, shortstop and second baseman. You also have Mason McCoy, shortstop and second baseman. So they have a couple of guys in their farm system to look out for. And that's top 30 guys. I know a ton of other players that are not top 30. I could be here for days talking about their farm system. So you look at their lineup, the lineup's going to be very respectable. I mean, I don't know who I you know, the only guy that's really a, to me, is a guy that you're going to have growing pains with, and that's probably Dwight Smith Jr. That's the only guy. Everybody else is going to put up numbers. Their catch and tandem is very good. Together, that's over 20 home runs, around a 260 batting average, 255 batting average, over 70 RBIs from your catcher with pretty good defense. I'm fine with that tandem. And that's only holding it down until Adley's ready. Well, Dwight Smith had 13 homers, 53 RBIs, 5 stolen bases, a 241 batting average last year. He's the only one that I feel, he's only 27, but I feel he's going to be the growing pains. But I think that he opens up the door for like a Ryan Mountcastle that can still play because you could bounce people around for and for DJ Stewart or someone else to get some playing time. You know, but if you look at this team, we're going to skip Chris Davis. I already said about the catching. Hanser Alberto, I think, is a tremendous player. He's going to put up very good numbers, very solid at second base. You're going to be really happy with him on the team. There's no question about it. So I'm not really worried about that. I love Rio Ruiz. I love him. I think he's going to be the player that everybody's going to be in love with this year. I really do. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised and go, wow, we have a stud here. And if you look at Alberto last year, he batted 305 with 12 homers, 51 RBIs, and 524 plate appearances. So it wasn't like he had like 200 plate appearances. This guy was maybe 100 plate appearances away from a full season, and he had 12 home runs. So he's probably going to get you in the high teens to 20. Knowing he has the position, he's 27 years old. He batted 305. He has a little speed. He stole 4 bases. He has some doubles. So, and he's playing, he's a Dominican Republic player, and he is playing second base. So he puts up pretty good numbers for a second baseman. I think he's going to have a very good year. You can just pencil him in and not worry about it. But Ruiz, man, at 25 years old, this kid's a stud. All right. He had 370 plate appearances last year. I mean, so he's probably almost 200 plate appearances away from a full season, maybe a little less, maybe 180, right? Well, no. No, he's actually 280 plate appearances. Well, yeah, 250, 260 plate appearances away from a full season, right? And he had 12 homers of 46 RBIs. You add another almost 300 plate appearances, he's going to get around 20-something home runs. He's going to get you around 70-something RBIs. His batting average will probably be around 250, 255. But this is a kid that he plays very, very good third base also. He's going to have a breakout season. People are going to be in love with this kid by the end of the season. Now, it's a shortened season, so it isn't the same. We all know about Jose Iglesias. We all know everybody in Cincinnati loved this dude. I know he's 30 years old, but that's not that old. 288, 11 homers, 59 RBI, 6 stolen bases. He had 504 at-bats. So he's about 130 at-bats, 140 at-bats away from a full season. You know, he's a Cuban prospect. He's from Havana, Cuba. You know, you give him another 100-something at-bats, and the guy's hitting you about 15 to 17 home runs. He's batting you right around what he's batting, and he's putting up some numbers. And he plays a very good, very good shortstop. And they love him over in Cincinnati. He's a lovable guy. So that's great to have. Anthony, I said it. I'll say it again. Big season. Hayes, a big season. You know, and people don't give Anthony the credit he's due. I mean, He's only 25 years old. He's 200 and something plate appearances away from a full season, and he had 20 home runs. He had 20 home runs, and he's like about 260 plate appearances away from a full season. He had like a half a season in plate appearances. So you just add 10 home runs to that. 10. Not another 20 because he only had half, but 10. That's 30 home runs. He already has about 59, 60 RBIs, basically. You had another 20 RBIs with 10 home runs and that many more playing appearances. He has 30 homers, 80 RBIs, and he's batting around 265 for an outfielder that's 25 years old. You're taking that to the bank. And he's a switch hitter. You're taking that to the bank. So another very good hitter. And then I loved Austin. I love Austin Hayes. I love his defense. I love his enthusiasm. I love his pep. I love everything about him. He's only 24 years old. He batted 309. He had four homers and 13 RBIs and two stolen bases and 68 plate appearances. I mean, this is a guy you had. Now, again, you had 600 more bats to that. Yeah, he might bat 280, but the guy's hitting you almost 20 home runs with 600 more bats, right? He had four. I mean, just add that up. Even if he gets, you know, and he had 13 RBI. So this guy's on pace to do some great things. Slide him in center field and leave him alone. We already know what Dwight Smith gives you. He's probably one of the weakest links. We already know DJ Stewart, but he's been hurt. I mean, four home runs, 15 RBIs, and a .238 batting average and 126 plate appearances. He's great off the bench. If you between him and Smith, you'll have yourself a pretty good numbers between those two guys. And again, they're not, you know, if you had Trey and Trey was there and he played the outfield, that's a great outfield with Smith and DJ coming off the bench and Andrew Vasquez all coming off the bench and then having Chance Cisco as your other bench guy. That's great. That's great. Now, your DH, Juanito Nunez, is probably one of your best hitters. Maybe not batting average wise, but home run wise. He had 30 home runs with 90 RBIs last year. And he still had about 100 more bats he could have had. So you had another 100 more bats tonight. He's probably hitting you around 38 home runs. He's probably having 100 RBIs. And he's having, you know, he's probably batting right around 250. Now, obviously, Trey is your best hitter overall. All around, he's your best hitter. But having Ryan Mountcastle, probably having McCoy make the team. You're probably going to have guys like that could probably make the team because they're going to have extended roster. Even Diaz might even make the team, and you get to see these great young talent. And that's what is exciting about this year with the extended roster and Baltimore not really being a contender and trying to build their team 3 years down the road. And now, listen, they have the hitting. They have a couple of guys in the farm system that are really good hitters, not even on your top 30 prospect list. I could get those other guys out to you, you know, via Twitter and stuff, just to recap some of the players that I said. But they have really good pitching. Really, and that's the thing that the Baltimore Orioles didn't have last year and the year before and the year before that was pitching. And they developed some really great young, there's can't miss pitching prospects on this team. You know, not all of them are top 30, but just looking at the top 30, guys like Keegan, guys like Kramer, guys like Hall, and Rodriguez, those four guys alone are going to be really, really, really good pitchers. Really good pitchers. And then you have Rahm is also another one. And then you have guys like Dallas Litcher and a bunch of other more. So, and they're all in different stages. Some are ready next year. Some are ready this year. Some are ready the year after. And some are ready year four. So that's great. Now, I understand why the Baltimore Orioles went out and signed the pitchers they did. Because they were a laughingstock the last 2 years in pitching. Especially last year. Now, their pitching staff is already five times better than it was last year. Okay. Alex Cobb is a very good pitcher when he's out there. We know this. We know this, and he wasn't healthy last year. You know he's going to give you innings. He's going to give you a chance to win every game he goes out there. You know John Means the same thing. He was the ace. Is he an ace going forward? He's more like a second starter than me. I think Grayson and Hall have chances to be aces. Means could be a third starter. Imagine putting John Means as a third starter. And having someone like a Kramer as your fourth starter, and then, you know, your fifth starter being Keegan. I mean, that's disgusting. That's a disgusting five-man rotation for the future. But Having him now and Cobb 1-2 punch gives you already two games that you're in with that lineup, with those numbers we went over, and your bench. Every two games those guys pitch gives you a chance to win no matter who they are playing. Okay? No matter who they're playing. Now, if they're playing the Yankees and it's against Garrett Cole, okay, that's different. If they're playing against Twins and Jose Berrios on the mound, it might be a little different. But the Astros with Justin Verlander might be a little different. But any other thing, every other pitcher, every other team's lineup, they are just as good. They are just as good. This is for a team that lost over 100 games last year and for a team that people are saying is going to be one of the worst three teams in baseball, which is rightfully so. But you give those two, and then you have a guy like Asher, which is no slump. I mean, he gets on the mound, he's going to pitch really. He's going to have games where he's going to like, oh my God, this guy's the best pitcher I've ever seen. Then he's going to have games like, oh, he needs to go to the bullpen. And he's going to have those middle roles, but he gives you an opportunity to win as a third pitcher. And then you have your last, I don't think Cole Stewart should be in the rotation. I'm just going to sit down and say, I've seen him develop. I know what he is. Remember, I was with the Twins, covering the Twins before this. He needs to be in the pen. All right, Wade LeBlanc. Now, Rodriguez. Now, yes, I like Hector. I think he's a great, great fourth starter. I think he's going to go out and give you, he's a good arm in this rotation. So, four guys right there. Now, Blanc and Tommy and Kramer and Keegan all fighting for that. And Cole, if you want, you're going to make them fight for it. But all as a fifth starter, if they're going to go with six starters, whatever. The pitching staff is already better than it was last year. And that lineup is good. And it's going to continue to get better. And if Chris Davis has a season, Baltimore is going to surprise you. Well, I'm done talking really Orioles right now. I know this is Bird Cage Radio and that's what we do. But there's some baseball news to go over. And I want to go over, we already went over what that they're going to start the season. But there's so many other things about, we went over other things about free agency and why they have to play this season, why they're pushing this season. And you know, like I said, if it's not the Orioles and the Marlins and the Blue Jays and Detroit and the Kansas City and all those other teams that want to see the development stage of their players grow, the other teams are like, "Huh, if you have a bad season this year, don't worry about it, because this is not, this is almost like a training season, extended spring training this season. Develop your players, see what works, what don't. It's getting, you get a freebie. You get a freebie this year. If you win a World Series, you get it. If you go to the playoffs, you get it. If you win a division, you get it. But if you don't, it's a freebie. You developed, you did your thing, you got rid of bad contracts. They happen faster than you thought. Whatever. Whatever it is, it is. You know, trades, free agencies, all going to happen a lot faster because the season's going to be shorter. If it's shorter, we don't know. But these divisions is what bothers me, especially if I'm a Reds fan, if I'm a Mets fan, a Twins fan, the divisions bother me. Now, the latest, now there was ones with the Grapefruit and the Cactus League. There was, you know, when their divisions were a little bit better, I kind of liked them. You know, the teams that I think are really going to be good will win those divisions. There was another proposal about another division. And then there's this one that's 10. There's a West, Central, and East of 10 teams in a division. We don't know. I don't know what the guidelines are, how many teams make the playoffs, or if it's five from each. I don't know if it's three from each division. I don't know what it is. I don't know how they're playing it out. But this is what it is. In the West, it'll be the Dodgers, Angels, Giants, Athletics, Padres, Diamondbacks, Rockies, Rangers, Astros, Seattle. That West doesn't bother anybody because it was the Dodgers and the Astros will be at the top, right? Oakland and Arizona. Those would be the top four teams most likely. You would have San Diego, Angels, and Texas right there. You know, everybody else would be at the bottom. Rockies would be at the bottom. Mariners would be at the bottom. Giants would be at the bottom. Rockies, yeah, Mariners and Giants would be at the bottom, right? Mariners are in that young, they're in a stage with the Baltimore Orioles. Now, again, so if you're a Mariners fan, if you're a Rockies fan, if you're a Giants fan, you know you're in that rebuilding stage. You want to see some players develop. You're okay with this. You don't care. You want to see baseball. You know, San Diego Padres, you're on the fence about this because they're the third best team in their division, most likely, right? I mean, you get the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres are the worst in their division. The Rockies are not that good, and the Giants are not that good. So here, they're like fifth or sixth. So, you know, this would be a wash for them. So they don't care about this season, but they want to see some development and see their players play. Same thing with the Angels. Angels think they're going to be pretty good. They think they could fight for second place. If not, they're a third place team. But now, again, they're in the same boat as the Padres. Not going to come close to winning this division. It's not going to happen. Diamondbacks are the second best team in the National League West, but they're fourth now, right? Athletics, Dodgers, and they could fight for a wild card, and now they're not going to be a wild card. So now the Diamondback fans are like, oh, we really want this? Now the Dodgers and the Astros, and if they're taking three teams from each division, the Dodgers, Astros, and Athletics are fine, right? I mean, the Athletics are kind of pissed off about it because the Dodgers are now in the division. They're the best team in that division. Pushes them to third. Now, if Arizona or someone peaks or Angels peak, now the Athletics are kind of like, oh, man, that ain't fair. Now, in the Central, you got the Cubs, the White Sox, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Royals, the Reds, the Indians, the Twins, the Braves, and the Detroit Tigers. Now, again, if you're the Tigers, you're the Royals, you don't care. Because you weren't going to the playoffs, you're developing players, you're doing your thing. This will probably help you out. Those teams that have those last couple of players that are really good at a position or can be good or might spark a good year, it's going to help them because there's going to be so many teams fighting because there's so many good teams. Are they going to make that trade and pull that trigger for that extra player? So like Salvador Perez, on Seager, all those guys are going to be well off because they're going to be able to trade those guys. Now, the Cubs are going to – now, if you want to see that division, the top three teams, you know, the Twins, the Braves. And then at that point, you got to look at the Brewers, the Reds, and the Cubs are the top five teams in that division. And now the Cardinals, the Indians – are all on the front. The Indians are a second place team with the White Sox. They're fighting the White Sox for second place this year. But now they're the fourth worst team in the division at this point, right? I mean, you kind of edge into the White Sox and you think the Cardinals are better than them because the Cardinals have proven to be winners over time. So you got to give them just because they're the Cardinals, just like you would give it to, you know, the Patriots going into next season, even though they don't have Brady, they still have Belichick. It's almost like that. But now the Cubs being fighting with the Brewers and the Reds for the division are now like, you know, fifth or something. Same thing with the Brewers. They're like third. The Reds that had a chance of winning this division will be behind the Braves and the Twins. So they're the Cubs and the Brewers could beat up on them enough to where they might not make the playoffs if they're taking three teams out of a division, right? They're taking 3-3-3, that's six. That's what they're thinking about doing, I heard. If they take the five, then you're really screwed at that point if you're the Reds. And that's why it's almost unfair. It's almost like going to be a weird season because if you're not the Twins and you're not the Braves and you're not the Dodgers and you're not the Astros, those other teams are all going to be like, oh, you know, that's not fair. In our divisions, we would have been the wild card or fought for the wild card or been the second place team. Now in the East, it's even worse because the Mets had an opportunity. Now the Yankees, the Mets, the Nationals, the Phillies, the Rays, and Boston, that's six teams. Boston is still a pretty good team. I'd put them sixth. But now the Pirates you don't have to worry about, the Marlins you don't have to worry about, and the Orioles you don't have to worry about. That's three teams. The Blue Jays are not going to be that bad. They're not going to be pushovers. So now the Nationals have no shot because I think the Mets are better than the Nationals. I think the Rays are better than the Nationals. The Yankees are the best team in that division. So if you go in two teams per division, then the Yankees are number one. Then you got the Mets, the Nationals. The Phillies are good. The Rays are good. Those four teams are going to fight for that next spot. And when in their right, the Rays would make the playoffs in their division. They are the second best team in the American League East. And they would most likely make the playoffs, or at least be in second place. Here, they could end up in fourth. And a team like the Phillies that had or the Blue Jays that have a little bit of a spark and get, you know, the Blue Jays, we did their starting rotation, could make a run, might not now. They could be the third best team. They could, and if the Rays have an injury or just play a little better because they have better hitting, win, come in second. But now they have no opportunity. And to me, that bothers me a little. I don't like the realignment. I understand why we have to do it to bring baseball back. But being that I cover the Baltimore Orioles, it doesn't bother me that much because it's just development stage for us. And I know for other teams, but any of those teams on the cusp, any of those teams that are right there, don't look at this season as, oh man, we're not good anymore. We're not good. Because this is just to play baseball and get things back to normal. If that makes any sense to anybody. Other news, the New York Mets, I want the Mets to be sold. I grew up a Mets fan. I was from Queens, New York. And I was a big Mets fan growing up. I mean, I would fight Yankee fans. I was a big Mets fan growing up. My love for baseball came through the Mets, came through Keith Hernandez, came through those guys. And let me tell you, the Mets should be a big market team. The Mets are a great team. They have a very good foundation right now. They have a beautiful ballpark. They have a great fan base. They're in a great city. They have all the makings of being one of the best teams in the National League every single year, year in and year out. And there's a couple of teams in all of sports that just have that opportunity and never do it. And they seem like most of them in New York, the Jets, the Knicks, the Mets, are those three teams that just can't get out of their own way. And it's because of their owners. And they do have a shadow of a big brother, the Giants. The Knicks don't. I mean, Brooklyn's starting to be a shadow because of who they picked up. And being that they're Brooklyn, they have a new logo and they have all their new stuff and a new beautiful arena. And then you have the Yankees. So, but the Mets are in the National League. They have an opportunity, just like the Jets do this year. I'm still a Jet fan. I'm not a Met fan anymore. I have a soft spot for the Mets, but I'm a baseball fan because I covered so many different teams. I know so many different players on a personal level, on a business level, that it's hard for me to root for a team. I do root for the Orioles to be better and play good ball because I cover them, but I'm still a Jet fan. And with Tom Brady gone, and Buffalo is a good team, but I don't know. I feel like they blow things somehow. So the Jets got an offensive line. They got a wide receiver. They got some defense. If they sign Clowney, you know, this team is going to be, you know, this is their season. This is their season to show things, just like the Mets. Now, Mets, if they get a new ownership, the money they bring in, you know, with the fan base, with the new ownership, it's not like the Marlins. They get a new ownership, and the fans still don't come out. The Mets fans come out now. So you know you're buying a good product. And then you get, you know, you have Alonso, you have Rosario, you have, you know, Jeff, you have Davis. You have a couple of guys in your farm system. You have a really good starting rotation, a really good relieving staff, some young guys, some guys in your farm system to look forward to, a handful. But you have money in New York. If the Mets win that division this year and next year go out and sign one big free agent and they have that core and that big free agent and they bring back some of their pitchers and then win the division again, the Mets could go out and do whatever they want. going forward. And they do it again 3 years in a row. They get anybody they want. They could fight with every single team, but maybe the Yankees and any free agent they want. Maybe the Yankees if a team is like not a Yankee. You know, there's some players that don't want to play for the Yankees. So they need that new ownership. And I think Alex Rodriguez is loved by a lot of people in baseball. You know, him and his wife are loved by a lot of people. They're loved on social media. They do a lot of great things. They look great together. Kids, all that stuff. And if they have this billionaire guy that's going to come in with them, that's fine. But they want the Mets as a discount. Now, I understand why they want the Mets as a discount, why they think they can get the Mets as a discount because of the Corona thing. There's going to be no money made this year. They have some contracts they still have to eat up. And they screwed up the other deal, and everybody knows they want to sell and have to sell. So they might get him at a discount. But if they offered the right amount of money, they would have the Mets right now. Then next year, you're looking at Mookie Betts. You're looking at whoever you want to get. And that's a great thing. It's good for baseball to make the Mets better, too. It's good for every team to have the right ownership and to be able to go out and do things in the league. And it's just good. It's good all around. It's good for baseball, everybody to be competitive. I remember in the 80s, all the teams were competitive. There was like one or two teams that went 100. And it was only like one or two teams that would lose 100. And everybody else would be like very close and fight. It would be great. The uniforms, the players, they all had these great players. It was baseball. Stolen bases, everything. They had everything. I like to see that back. I mean, I didn't grow up in the 80s. I grew up in the 90s. But 80s baseball is where it at. I remember watching the 86. First time I ever watched a baseball game, I was in the 80s. And, you know, in the Mets 86, you know, they were great in the 80s. In the 90s, they were terrible. Okay in the 2000s. But baseball around is a great sport. And we're starting to see how the minor leagues are being developed and how great those young players are. And teams building around their farm system and building a core and adding the key free agents. And that's how you win. And that's how you make the game great again. And this is going to help this year with the extended rosters because they're going to have extended rosters because they can't get everybody back in the shape. It's going to really help. I mean, they might at a certain time have to drop the rosters. And that's fine because then a couple of players that still need to play every day or maybe didn't really work out, go back and season themselves up for the next year. And the next year, spring training is going to be fun because you're going to know what you kind of have on your team because you're going to have those extended rosters from this year. So that's great. You know, listen, the same June 10th, the same July 1st, hopefully things are back to normal. I hope all you and your family are safe. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It was great getting back on the radio. Our next show, I promise, our next show, we will have players on. Now, it is Birdcage Radio. It is Baltimore Orioles baseball talk. We're going to have Oriole players on, but there's two or three players I know from other teams I might bring on. And I might bring on in the beginning just because we could talk about what they think about if there's an alignment, if there's not. You know, I have Cardinal players, I have Marlin players, I have Met players, I have Dodger players, I have Brave players, I have Cub players, I have, you know, Indian players, and then I have Rays players, and then of course Baltimore Orioles. So I'll bring a couple of the players on, maybe not all of them, three or four, and then I'll bring on a ton of Baltimore Orioles players just to talk, and we'll get it going. We'll find out what they think and what the opportunities are and what they're not, all that stuff going forward with the league and if there is an alignment by then, if there's not, if it's regular divisions or what they think and what they think about playing in the Corona situation, and then we'll talk baseball with them too. And that's really it. I thank everybody for joining me. Stay safe, stay focused, don't let your guard down. We're going to get through this. It's almost over. And yay for baseball, yay for life being normal. And again, enjoy your Cinco de Mayo. Take care, brush your hair. Peace. I'm out of here.
Legends never die. When the world is calling you, can you hear them screaming out your name? Legends never die.
When I pretend everything is what I want it to be, I look exactly like what you had always wanted to see. When I pretend I can forget about the criminal I am, stealing second after second just cause I know I can. But I can't pretend this is the way it'll stay. I'm just
trying to bend the truth.
I can't pretend I'm who you want me to be, so I'm
lying my way from
this isn't what I wanted to be. I never thought that what I said would have you running from me. Like this, this isn't what I wanted to be. I never thought that what I said would have you running.